Blog Talk Radio.
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say it. Yeah.
Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here once again tonight for another installation of Wounded No More for this Thursday, July the 14th, 2022. Hallelujah. Now, my brothers and sisters, get something to write with and write on, and please get ready to receive your anointed host and facilitator, prophetess and pastor, Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cook. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Well, tonight we are going to talk about trusting God. And all this week, and the week is not even over, the Lord had me in Psalm 37 for my own personal, you know, my own personal guidance, my own personal study time. And as you know, many times, not all the time, but many times, God will allow me to expound upon the things that he is dealing with me about personally. And the show is called Wounded No More, because it is really just about you recognizing where you are wounded, where you're not wounded no more, and maintenance. This is about maintenance based upon the word of God, applying it in your heart, applying it in your life, making it practical. So why are we talking about trust? Because trust is so important these days when it comes to so many things these days. And it can be utilized and used every day of your life, every second of your life to trust God. And as you know, if you were to go through the book of Psalms or even the book of Proverbs and cite how many times trust is, which I should have done before this show, which I'm probably going to do later on this week in my personal study time, to see how much that is stressed and emphasized, is to trust God. And what I'm going to do tonight, which is kind of different, and it's really how I study anyway, I look at different versions of the Bible. I'm going to be in between like about four or five of them, and I'll let you know which ones. The KJV, which is the King James Bible Amplified, which is one of my favorites, the Common English Bible, and the Living Bible, and the Message Bible is what I will be using from time to time to emphasize, as you know, different points and highlight different things and expound upon them and let just the word speak on its own. The first thing that Psalm 37 is really the theme of this book is trusting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him. So there's two things going on here, trusting and waiting patiently for him to act. I almost start to think that when you trust, there's something that goes along with that, to wait patiently. If you're really trusting God, you are waiting patiently. You're in a place of rest. You're in a place of expectancy. So many times when God is dealing with me about trusting him, you know, I'll say, oh, you know, God, okay, I just need you to trust me. I just need you to trust me. And he'll say it over and over again. And I'll retort and reply, but I am trusting you, Lord. And one of the things that lets me know that I, you know, through all the years that I've gone through different levels of tests and, you know, and just learning and growing in the Lord is that I'm starting to know, recognizing myself when I'm really not trusting God. He's not going to keep telling me to trust him if there's fear, if there's wrath, if there's anger, if there's restlessness behind the scene playing in the background. And so when he begins to say, you don't trust me because you're still worrying, because you're still fretting. The first part of this 37 Psalms is, never envy the wicked. Soon they will fade away like grass and disappear. Trust in the Lord. In certain versions, it says two words are fret not because of evildoers. So it'll say because of evildoers, because those who prosper, because they do wicked things. This is the context in which David is talking about. But many times if you're fretting, if you're distracted, you're not trusting God. That's one of the indicators that we need to pay attention so we can really know whether or not are we trusting God or not. Not saying I'm half trusting. You can't half trust God. Either you trust him or you don't. So let's just think about that in your own self-examination and begin to assess trusting God looks like this in your life. Not trusting God looks like that in your life. And that's a level of self-examination. That's a level of integrity about whether you do trust God. And sometimes when you are recognizing, you know what, I really don't trust God. Not according to, you know, this revelation that God's given me because I'm fretting, because I'm worrying about it. I'm distracted by all kinds of foolishness, or I'm saying, well, what if? I'm dreading. Is that really trusting? No, because we're supposed to rest when we really trust God. We wait, hope, and expecting. We kind of almost, in my case, I would say when I know I'm really resting and trusting God, it's because sometimes I forget about it. I totally forget about it, and I leave it in. That really means I've let it totally go and put it in God's hands. That's my measure. We all have different measures. We all know different levels of where we trust God or whether we don't, whether we vacillate back and forth. To vacillate is not to trust God, because you're not resting if you're vacillating. When I am relaxed, when I am just focused on the right thing, then I know, well, you know what? I totally have leaned myself totally upon. And that's one of the versions. I think it's an amplified sense, totally leaning upon and relying upon God. That's a level of trust. You're not allowing yourself to be distracted. You're waiting in hope, not just waiting and, oh, maybe. No, you hope expectingly that God's purposes or whatever you're trusting him for will be the case. And that's it. And we don't need to overcomplicate it or oversimplify it. The reason why I'm harping on this, people need to get integral about where their level of trust is with God. And because he would not keep telling you over and over again to trust him if you really did. So if that's the case with you, it was with me. It may not be your case. But if it's something that God is constantly saying to you, I just need you to trust me. You don't trust me. I just need you to trust me now. You need to trust me with this. You need to trust me with that. And then maybe you begin to say, I am trusting you, or I thought I was. Examine. Look a little closer. So when we look at the first part, and I'm reading out of, I'll tell you the versions I'm reading out. I'll be going back and forth in different ones. Right now, ESV is also a version that I'm reading out of. Fret not, which is an amplified, because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, that which is not of right or in right standing with God. Why do we allow ourselves to get distracted with evil people, with what evil people are doing? Why do we do that? And that's just a question you don't have to answer. That's a rhetorical. But in David's case, there was different things that could have distracted him because of his where he was, you know, how he was running from Saul. He had many enemies. So this definitely, you know, makes sense with David. But I think in today's time it's relevant too. Sometimes we do get distracted with what evil people are doing or what evil is going along with. For they shall be cut down like grass, wither as the green herb. Trust, which is a big word, is what we're talking about. And this is what I mean about leaning on, rely on, and be confident. Okay, so there's two things. Lean on, rely on, and be confident. You lean on something, it's because you know it's going to hold you up. In the natural, when we lean on something, like we lean on a chair, or we lean on, against the wall, or we lean against someone, we don't think we're going to fall, so we lean on them. No, we believe we're going to be held up, right? So when you trust in God and you begin to lean on him in confidence, it's because you know he's not going to let you fall. As a matter of fact, later on in the scripture, it'll say, I will not let you fall. Even when you fail, he said, but rely on and confidence in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. So when we begin to trust God, what it does is it develops a level of joy, a level of rest and peace, and then it helps us focus on what we really should be doing. We begin to focus on serving. We begin to focus on our walk with the Lord, our relationships with others as he is leading us. Principally, we're living in a way that's going to please him. But this is one of the scriptures I like. I mean, verses that I truly enjoy is verse 5, when it says, commit your way to the Lord. When you trust God, you will commit your way unto the Lord. Just keep thinking about trust as under the umbrella as we begin to read through these scriptures. Trust. So now that you trust God and you're resting on him and you're relying confidently on him and you're establishing him, begin to commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose and each care that you have and of your load on him. And this is why I said this is an indicator for me that I know I trust God, because I do begin to commit my ways to the Lord. I begin to just give it all to him, all my cares, the things that keep me distracted, you know, the things that keep me from relying on him and being confident in what he is establishing in me, also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So when we begin to commit our ways unto the Lord and confidently trust him and patiently wait on him, then we begin to be able to be lighter in our load. You know how Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. For my burden is easy, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It first starts with what, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. It's coming to the Lord. So if you know that this is about trusting God, he wants you to come to him and lay all your burdens down on him. So begin to commit your way into the Lord. One of the ways you commit your ways into the Lord is to trust him, is to begin to give him all, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you confidently, not to the point where he's got to take, like somebody got to take something from you, but you willingly lay it down before the Lord. It's just like when I'm trying to take something from my grandson or something he doesn't want to give me because he doesn't trust, you know, that's different. Eventually, if I think it's going to hurt him, I'm going to snatch it from him. But I think that when it comes to our relationship with God, don't let us be in a place where we have to, he feels like he has to, you know, coax us to give something to him, especially when it becomes our burden. You know, come unto me, all you know, that's what Jesus said, come, take, and learn of me. Commit your way to the Lord. This is what this verse reminds me of, what Jesus also said. And he will make your uprightness and your right standing with God go forth as the light. He will bring, you know, and he go forth as the light in your justice and right and the shining sun of the noonday. So in the Living Bible, it says, okay, I like to read out of the Living Bible, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it and with help him. So let me read this. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you to do it, and he will. So that's what how it says it in the Living Translation. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you. Help. Ask God to help you. When you begin to trust him, I think that opens up things in your heart where you begin to generate the right questions, and you begin to say, Lord, I need help. Can you help me do this? It helps you pray. When you begin to trust God, you begin to pray very simple prayers, prayers that are really, when I say simple, I mean where you're asking for help, where you're saying, Lord, show me what this looks like in my life, where you're showing, Lord, show me how to apply your word simply in my life. What does that look like? You begin to talk to him and in a way where your prayers can break down just simple petitions. And remember how I said that earlier about the petitions of your heart in verse 4 in the Amplified. That happens when you trust God. I notice how when I just begin to trust God, my prayers are not so heavy. They're not so, when I say heavy, it's just like I can't find the words, or the words are just not communicating right. And so there's a level of humility, which I'm also going to talk about, that comes with us trusting God. We just have to trust him, not with what, but with the will. He gives us the will and the to-do. So many times when we begin to pray for God because we trust him, the right prayers go forth. They begin to come up like water. You'd be surprised because you just say, you know, I surrender, Lord. I trust you. Trust you with everything. I've committed my ways to you. I'm learning how to do that. I don't even know what this looks like. There's many times I can say that I would pray, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. That is a place of true humility. Because when he says, now I got you where I want you. Because when you begin to trust God, you'd be surprised the things in your heart begin to break up. Just because you said, okay, Lord, I trust you. Okay, I surrender. Which I thank God for that level of humility, because really he shows you not just who you are in a place of vulnerability, in a place of humility and meekness and pliability, where you're pliable and teachable you begin to see who he is. So that's why trust is very, very important. And as we continue to read on in verse 8 of the Amplified, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not, that word again, or that phrase again, fret not yourself. It tends only to evil doing. In the Living Bible, it says, stop your anger, turn off your wrath, don't fret and worry. It only leads to harm. And so I put on my notes today to explain and go into being angry. Well, when you're not trusting God, you know, there's different types of emotions that we go through when we're not trusting God and when we're trusting man or trusting ourselves or trusting the past or trusting what somebody said or trusting something we read, but we're doing everything but not trusting God. And it will create all these different types of emotions. You'll feel like you're up and down and all around. You're like, you're not stable in your emotions. One day you wake up and you're excited. Next day you wake up, you're depressed. Maybe even that same day, you'd realize because you're not really trusting God. Trusting God allows you to focus on what's really important. And that's his will and his purpose. And like I said, it begins to break up things in your heart. And so you begin to pray right. You're not just praying, hitting and missing. And that, but the opposite of that is anger, wrath, frustration, anxiety, restlessness. Turn it off. Especially if you're focusing on the wrong thing. You'd be surprised how when you begin to look at, so to speak, if you begin to compare and compare your life with somebody else's life and all God told you to do was to trust him about this certain situation, it will create envy. Because it talks about that at the beginning of this chapter, talking about don't envy the wicked. You begin to have envy. You begin to get distracted because you'd be like, oh, what if? Living in the past, all these things that it generates. And you start getting angry at yourself, angry at the situation, the circumstances. And the Lord was like, you focus on the wrong thing. You're not trusting me. Anger will also show you that you're not trusting God. What are you angry about? Well, depending on what it is that you're not trusting God about, it'll surely show you what anger is. And I always say anger is just a secondary emotion. It's usually something else underneath there. So when he says, turn off the wrath, don't allow yourself to keep focusing on the wrong things, and then you're stirring up anger, and you're stirring up frustration, and the rest, and then you're starting to be, some people get very resentful as well. When resentment is able to sit in your heart, you know, that will eventually turn into bitterness. And so you'd be surprised, all because you didn't trust God. All because you didn't will yourself, your soul, areas in your soul, to commit your way to the Lord and stop being distracted by evil and people believing in themselves instead of believing in God. Believing in everything else, trusting in everything else but God. So you have to forsake and walk away from those things. But also, if it's too late and you realize that you're dealing with anger and you got anger issues, go back and figure out why you're angry. And then start to realize, maybe I didn't trust God in this way. Maybe I allowed myself to get distracted. And then now I'm so mad I don't know what to do. And that's wrath. That's just wrath. It's unbridled anger. Become humble before the Lord, meek and pliable and teachable. You learn so much when you begin to trust God. Like I said, giving you an example of learning how to pray, how those prayers would just be produced from a place of humility because you're trusting God, just like how you can feed animals right out of your hand because they trust you. And all animals are not like that. I just got a visual of going to the zoo, and we were told to feed animals, and not all of them. And the zookeepers would put the food in our hand and say, put your hand up there. I was like, how do I know this animal is not going to bite me? But some animals were so meek and mild that they would eat right out of your hand and they wouldn't bite you and anything. So I think that lets me know that's a good example of us allowing God to do what he needs to do. When we begin to allow him to put things in our hands in the natural, in the spiritual, there's a level of trust that has to be there. Just like that animal eating out of my hand, God wants to, we got to let things out of our hands so God can put stuff in our hands. That's a level of trust, trusting God. You have to realize that when you commit your ways to God, it will produce levels of humility and teachability. You'll learn a whole lot. You'd be surprised. So it's not just about trusting him for that certain situation. You're learning about yourself. You're learning more about the Lord too. And in verse 18, it says, day by day, the Lord observes. Let's go back to 11. Verse 11 talks about, but all who humble themselves before the Lord shall be given every blessing and shall have wonderful peace. And that's true. That's based on what I just said about how, first of all, he blesses you. When you begin to delight yourself in him, trust produces so many things in our lives, so many good things that we need to mature in the Lord. And if you ever are struggling in a place where you realize, I'm just not that sharp that place in that area, or I need to grow in that place, maybe it's about a level, in some cases, that you need to trust the Lord. Maybe there's something you haven't learned yet because you didn't trust God in a certain area. You didn't let go. You didn't cast your cares on him. You didn't commit your way to the Lord and confidently rely on him in a certain area. So go back and take inventory of that, because it talks about all humble, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we'll be given every blessing and shall have wonderful peace. There is peace when you trust God. When you truly trust God, there is peace that surpasses all your understanding, and it guards your heart and your mind. It really does. Trusting God does guard your heart and mind and produces a level of peace that feel like nothing touches you. Nothing gets your attention like it did before because you're not easily distracted. So let's keep that in mind about humility and how it makes us teachable in the hands of God when we trust him. And in verses 18, it talks about day by day, the Lord observes the good deeds done by godly men and gives them eternal rewards. He cares for them when times are hard, even in famine, and they will have that, but they will have enough. So that was reading in the Living Translation, and it says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. When I think about those two verses, 18 and 19, I think about today. I think about 2022 in July, the 14th, not just a particular day or the month, but just this time that we're in. I would say this, when this decade started in 2020, you know, there is so much transition and so much change. But God is forever watching over us and helping us and walking. And when we trust him, he is watching our steps. He's looking out for us day by day. He observes the good deeds done by godly men and gives them eternal rewards. He cares for them when times are hard, even in famine. And I feel like we're in a time of famine. We've been in a time of famine spiritually and in some places naturally. I was praying about something the other day, and this reminded me of 2016. Where I was in a place of intercession, and God was talking about irrigative prayers that create water where there is no water. You know, irrigation is where it's a system that brings water from a long distance to a distance where there is no water. And I began to pray about that and intercede, and I'm still in that place where he's giving me downloads about irrigative prayers on dry places. And see, God knows how to restore, God knows how to replenish, and God knows how to give us resources when there is drought in the land. And right now we're living in dark times. And I consider that a place in some areas barren spiritually, just barren places. When you trust God, though, you'll always have what you need and then some. You always will be put in a place where you have abundance, even in places of famine. And that's not just naturally, that's spiritually too. So keep that in mind, that when you trust God, you're never going to be in a place of famine or drought. It may be around you, but it doesn't affect you. God is still meeting your needs. And we can say that, you know, put God to the challenge. If you feel like you are in a dry place spiritually or naturally, begin to trust God in a different way so that you will be able to see God replenish you and restore you and bring you to a healthier place. But that's what his promise is in the verses. I mean, 23, this is one that everybody's familiar with, about the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I like to read it in the Amplified because it says the steps of a good man are directed and established, and by the Lord when he delights in his ways and he busies himself with his every step. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. And in verses 23 and 24 in the Living Bible, it says, the steps of good men are directed by the Lord. He delights in the steps they take. If they fall, it isn't fatal, for the Lord holds them with his hand. Remember I gave you the example of leaning on something that you know is going to hold you. You're confident in it. You're not leery of leaning on something that you think may or may not hold you. You're not going to sit in a chair that's not going to hold you, you know, unless you're just daring. But I think that when we begin to confidently trust and rely on the Lord in those places, he does uphold us. He does uphold us and he does direct us. That means, can you take direction? Can you take direction? It says the steps of the good man are directed by the Lord. But when you begin to commit your ways unto the Lord, you can, and you're teachable, you will be directed by the Lord. He'll instruct you in very, very practical things, things every day as well as things spiritual. You have to ask for it sometimes, and I think that by the time we ask for it, it's because we need clarity. It doesn't mean that God's not trying to direct us. Sometimes it is a still small voice, but sometimes it's a loud voice. Sometimes it's a leading. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's open vision. Sometimes it's just saying, go left, and I told you to go right. For anything, finding things in the grocery store, to reading a scripture, to witnessing to somebody. I mean, he wants to, when we say he commit our ways unto the Lord, that's in everything. And so that's how God is dealing with us when we begin to trust him. That's how our steps are directed and established by the Lord. He delights in every step that we take because we are, it creates a level of intimacy. Trusting in the Lord is a form of worship. When you truly are trusting in the Lord, there is a level of worship. Because there's a level of intimacy that is created from that place. And that's one of the ways our steps are established by the Lord. He delights in our ways. There's an exchange. And even when we fall, because we will, because we're earthen vessels, we shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. He upholds us with his hand. He makes sure that we don't fall, even when we fail, even when we trip, even when we fall short. He's there to hold us up because we're trusting in him. And there are times that we will. Trusting in God because you're afraid of failing is not an excuse not to trust God. I used to use that. That was like an internal confession. Well, and it was so hard for me to realize that's what was going on is that I wouldn't trust God because I was afraid to fail. How much sense does that make? But that's, you know, see, that's what happens when you lean to your own understanding. You begin to produce all these crazy thoughts that don't make any sense. But that's what kept me from, you know, fully committing my work, my works unto the Lord because I said, well, I don't want to fail. But when you trust God, there's no failure in God. So even when you fall, when you do, it's not seen as failure. You see, because you're trusting in God. So you have to be careful of that inner confession. And the things that you're repeating inside yourself that make you fall short or make you not trust God or make you feel like you don't really want to trust God with this or you only want to trust God with that, you have to commit your whole life to the Lord and trusting him and learning what that looks like on an everyday basis with everything. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding and in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Now, that's a power-packed passage. When I think of that, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, which means there's a probability for you to lean to your own understanding when you've just decided to trust the Lord. You know what? There is something that happens when we begin to trust God, spiritually and naturally, but even in the natural, we begin to become mocked. People begin to mock you when you trust God, even if you're not announcing, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting God. People will begin to mock you because you decide to trust God. And so the way you make decisions, how you make decisions don't make sense. It's not usually a popular consensus. It usually doesn't make sense to most people that just do things in their own strength. And you will be mocked when you begin to delight, and God begins to delight in the things you're doing. There is going to be some level of persecution, I think, or just being misunderstood when you begin to trust God wholeheartedly. And it says the steps, that's why our steps are directed by the Lord, not, you know, based on statistics, not based on what somebody said, not based on the bestseller list, not based upon, you know, some old tradition or some legalistic precept, but we, our steps are ordered by the Lord. And our, you know, the word of God is one of the ways that our steps are ordered. And so in 25, I've been young and now I'm old and I'm in all my years. And I have never seen the Lord forsake a man who loves him, nor have I seen the children of God go hungry. Instead, the godly are able to be generous with their gifts and loans to others, and their children are a blessing. And that's 25 till 26. And so 25 to 26, and the Amplified says, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the uncompromisingly righteous. That means you don't, you're uncompromisingly righteous. Forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. All day long they are merciful, and graciously they lend, and their offspring are blessed. There's a level of consistency when I hear the word all day long. They're consistently the same. They are merciful and give graciously. And so it tells us to depart from evil and do good, and you will dwell forever securely. So I think that even doing good, being consistent in our in well-doing, it takes a level of trust in God. We have to understand that sometimes it's not going to be a popular way. It's not going to be something that most people can understand. And it's one of the ways that God blesses us to be a blessing. It's just like he's saying, he allows you to loan and your seeds, they are blessed by the fact that you're blessed. They don't beg for bread. They don't have lack. So it's important that we trust God, not just for ourselves, but for those who are watching us, those who we serve, our children and our children's children, our family. So trust is not just about you. Trust is about others too, that you serve, that you're influencing. So the Lord loves justice and fairness. He will never abandon his people. They will be kept safe forever, but all who have wickedness, they shall perish. The godly shall be firmly planted in the land and live forever there forever. And the godly man is a good counselor because he is just and fair and knows right from wrong. Well, what makes him, that man, godly? The fact that he trusts God. So I think later on in the scripture, there are repercussions, I guess, or you can say things that come from the benefits of trusting God. You're a blessing. You're a good counselor. You're firmly established. You are in a good land. It talks about you, you know, uttering wisdom and being full of justice, which is what trusting God can produce. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. These things become solidified inside of you. Like I said, trusting God produces so many things. It's not just for you. It's for others. It's for how God can use you, you know, because you trust him. And so you're a living testimony. You're a written epistle that everybody can see. When people begin to trust God and commit their ways unto the Lord, absolutely, they're not dealing with, they can rest, they can be patient. They're not dealing with wrath and being irrational. They're pliable, they're teachable, they're meek, they're easily directed. They become established because God can actually establish you and stabilize you in places where you trust him. He's upholding you even when you fail because you trust him. You trust him with your future. You trust him with every aspect of your life, and you're casting your cares on him. And it says, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway, and in due season he will honor you with every blessing, and you will see the wicked destroyed. Okay, so that's in verse 34. Wait for and expect the Lord, and keep and heed his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land in the end when the wicked are cut off. So it's in 34, it says, wait for the Lord, keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land, and you look and on, and then the wicked are distracted by wickedness or evil people around you. You really can wait and expect the Lord and keep and heed his way. Talk to the Lord. You know what intimacy Trust creates intimacy. When you trust somebody, that's how intimacy is created in the natural as well as in the spiritual. There becomes fruitful places. It becomes very stable. There's a stable place. There has to be a level of trust with God if we expect to grow. Trusting God makes you righteous. Trusting God makes you blessed. Trusting God establishes you, and trusting God will mature you. And I could keep going on and on about what trusting does. It creates intimacy. It creates a level of understanding and revelation that God can give you because he trusts you and because you trust him. And so he trusts you, and you be able to see that manifested in your life because you trust God. You'll begin, hey, God trusted me with this. He put this in my pathway. He begins to trust you not just with your own doings and your own purposes, but others. You begin to serve in a different way because you decided to trust him. My challenge to you tonight, and after this I will pray about Psalm 37, is for you to be able to recognize where you're fretting. It's for you to recognize where you may be angry or frustrated, or where you may be resentful even, and begin to dig through that and say, Lord, is this an area where I just didn't trust you, or I didn't know to trust you at? And begin to ask the Lord to break it down to you and show you where you can begin to trust him more in that area. Also, you know, you have to realize that you trusting God is more than just about you trusting God for a situation. Try not to compartmentalize. Well, I trust God for the right job, or I trust God for material things, or I trust God for the right mate, or whatever it is. We should commit our ways unto the Lord, but don't compartmentalize in how you trust him. Trust him in all things. In all thy ways, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Begin to talk to God. When you're about to make a big decision, or say you're about to make a big purchase, there's certain people that you talk to. You talk to financiers. You talk to people that have gone through the same thing, or, you know, making a big purchase, whether it's a house or maybe it's a building or something like that, or you're about to, you know, make a big move, and you begin to seek counsel, right? And you seek counsel based on some level of trust, right, of that relationship. Even if it's a relationship that hasn't been, you know, a long relationship, you're seeing something that's making you say, well, I can trust their advice, or I can trust their counsel. So I think that it's important to see that when you begin to trust God in a way where you're making big decisions, you come to him for everything because you trust him. You trust you value what he's going to say to you. You value his counsel. So that's why, you know, it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path, and trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Because no matter what it is, whether it's not, Lord, should I buy this, or Lord, should I not buy this, should I go here, should I go there, you're trusting God. And what you find out is after a while, you won't have to ask him for everything. Should I do this or should I do that? Because those things will be cultivated in your heart, and you'll know exactly which way he's directing you without him even telling you, because that trust level is there. So I just want you to be blessed with this message. I thank God that he allowed me to teach this, because of all it does for all it did for me was begin to show me how important that is in my life. And I'm not done even studying this on my own. I will continue to dig out and dig in this chapter 37 for a while as I begin to meditate on it. And I just thank you, Lord, Father God, tonight for being here in the midst, being able to speak to our hearts, Lord, about your word, about how we need to trust you, Lord. And for some of us, it's crucial. And for some of us, we need to increase in trusting you because of the transitions that we are making and the purposes that you have shown us and our identity in you. I pray to you, Lord, tonight that you begin to pour out your spirit onto people, that they will be able to see how easy it is to trust you and just to let go so that they can rest, so that they can be released in a place where they can begin to learn more of you, turn away from distractions and things that are distracting them and not being focused on the right thing. And that it builds confidence in them and you and in your relationship with them and their relationship with you. And then your relationship with them will help others in their life, Father God. It will just flow like a river from you to them and from them, from us to others, Father. I just thank you, Lord, today that we commit our ways unto you, that we turn away from wrath, that we begin to stop being angry and frustrated with the cares of this life, and that we begin to, Lord, know that day by day you guide us and your heart and your intent for us will be revealed because we trust you. And you'll be able to draw us out of dark places into places where there's light, where there's rest,
yes,
where there's more peace. I thank you, Father God, for firmly establishing us, for some of us that are wavering back and forth in a decision when that's not your will, but that we be establishing what you have said. We stand on and we don't move. We do not move. And not only do we not move, we learn to relax and rest in that area, Father God, and we be able to benefit from your peace, and that we don't be impatient, that we expectantly wait with you, Lord, in hope, and that we begin to be steady along the way, Father God, in new pathways and in due season and in your time, Lord. We know you will honor everything and bless us, Lord, to be a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. What a phenomenal teaching on trusting God. Hallelujah. Now, if you have any comments or questions of a pastor, you can ask them now. If you're in the studio, you can press your 1 on your keypad, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. And if you are in our chat rooms, you can relay your messages at this time if you haven't done so already. I just want to say to you, Pastor, this was a very timely message, and I think God is dealing with a lot of people about trusting him right now. So I just want to thank you for this anointed message. And, you know, like you said, when you trust God, that means you trust him in all things and at all times. And I just want to say to anyone that is listening out there tonight, if you haven't placed your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Pastor Vanessa and I would like to invite you right now to enter into a relationship with him. We're not inviting you into a religion. We're not inviting you to a brick and mortar. We're asking you to lay down your will and trust God and his. And you don't have to get all dressed up or go in a building, or there is no proper way to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. You just need to go to him with a sincere heart, ask him to forgive you of your sin, cleanse you of your unrighteousness, and then ask him to use you. As Pastor Vanessa just prayed, we are blessed to be a blessing. And it's just as simple as going to him and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me because I believe that you are the Son of the living God. So come into my life and save me. And then use me for your kingdom. And if you prayed in Jesus' name, amen. And if you just prayed that prayer with me, then Pastor Vanessa and I want to be two of the first people to welcome you into the family of God. And we just want you, if you said that prayer, we want you to seek out a Christ-teaching, Christ-centered church. Hallelujah. And we want you to be around the saints of God so that you can grow up and grow in grace and learn about your spiritual gifts. And we want you to study to show yourselves approved. So just simply ask the Holy Spirit to begin to teach you the things of God, and he will. I'm going to turn the program back over to Pastor Vanessa in case she has any final comments, and I will close, or if not, I will close the program. Amen.
Amen. I just also want to encourage everyone to, this all started with me just deciding and listening to God to read his word. I didn't know why he was reading me to Psalm 37. But obviously had a trust issue problem, didn't I?
Yeah.
So he knew where I was wavering. He knew, and he also knows what's coming. He also knows what's coming.
What's coming.
And
amen.
That's why.
Amen, my sister. Amen. Glory to God. We just want to thank God once again for Pastor Vanessa Carver. She is truly an anointed woman of God, and we just pray that you heard something on tonight that truly blessed your soul, uplifted your spirit, hallelujah, and edified you. So and impacted you so that you might live a more abundant life in Christ today. On behalf of Pastor Vanessa and I myself, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed weekend. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Phenomenal job, dear sister. Thank you.
Good night.
God bless you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.